Welcome to the Do Good to Lead Well podcast. If you're passionate about mastering self-leadership, then you're in the right place. I have always been curious about and fascinated by the pursuit of leadership excellence. This is why I pursued my PhD in psychology with a specialization in business, and I've continued to dedicate my career to understanding the science and practice of positive leadership. My name is Craig Dowden. I'm a best-selling author, award-winning keynote speaker, executive coach, and member of the Forbes Coaches Council. Each week, I'll bring you world-class content on the science and practice of positive leadership. Through my conversations with best-selling authors, TED speakers, and top CEOs, you'll be able to leverage their insights and experience so you can maximize your potential and be the leader the world needs you to be. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Do Good to Lead Well webinar and podcast series. I'm your host, Craig Dowden, and it's a real pleasure to have you joining us today and listening in. I've been really excited about this episode for quite some time once it was scheduled, and really looking forward to digging in today. And before I start, for those of you who are new listeners to the podcast universe, a very warm welcome. For those of you who are return listeners, thank you so, so much for your support. We are now in the top 1% of podcasts globally, which is amazing and only could have happened with your support. So thank you so, so much. And one of the main reasons for the enthusiasm around the podcast is that I've been able to speak with so many amazing chief executives and best-selling authors, and today is no exception. And I'm pleased to welcome Lindsay Glasgow, who is the president and CEO of Plan International Canada, which is a member of a global organization dedicated to advancing children's rights in over 80 countries. They exist to create a just world where children, especially girls, learn, lead, decide, and thrive. Lindsay is a dynamic leader with 25 plus years of experience developing and managing social policies and programs in diverse environments worldwide. In 2023, her leadership has earned Plan International Canada a place in Waterstones, Canada's Most Admired Cultures Hall of Fame, the first nonprofit to receive this distinction. So a heartfelt congratulations. Lindsay also received the 2023 McGill Distinguished Leader Award. And before joining Plan, Lindsay was based in Geneva, Switzerland, acting as Secretary General of CARE International. She's also held executive roles, including President and CEO of Special Olympics Canada and Global Director of Policy and Strategy for Right to Play. Lindsay is truly a global citizen, having lived and worked in over 60 countries, which is absolutely awesome. And as an avid traveler, I just love that. So Lindsay, an incredibly warm welcome to the program. So thrilled that you're here.
Thank you so much, Craig. It's a pleasure to be here. And I actually just want to start by congratulating you, the top 1%, I think you said, which is a huge coup. And I've started to listen myself to your podcast and just find it really inspiring and helpful for people like me. We're always looking for tidbits of information from other leaders. So it's been inspirational and helpful. So thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And as I mentioned at the outset, it cannot happen without having conversations with inspiring leaders who not just talk about positive leadership and how to make a difference in their organizations and the world around them, also sharing so how they do that. And so thank you for being part of that conversation today. And I want to start with, as I hinted at, what I love, you've lived and worked in over 60 countries. And so I'm curious, Lindsay, how has that informed your leadership philosophy?
That's a heavy, loaded question. But I guess, first of all, just being exposed to so many different living circumstances, so many different cultures, having seen the disparity between those who live very, very well and those who are incredibly marginalized, it fuels me, and it really makes me feel that I have a role to play in addressing some of these horrible social norms that we're living with globally. You know, my whole career has been marked by social change and wanting to contribute to social change. So I think each and every time that I travel and I see sort of these disparities and these circumstances that people are living with, I come back even more charged to do what I do. So the real life circumstances of people combined to with just the richness of culture and the richness of tradition and the power and the potential behind all of these different cultures inspires me. We watch the news and we see horrible crises around the world, but behind these crises are just incredible people with so much to offer. And it's something that I always keep in my mind with everything that I do. There's just a wealth of knowledge, experience, potential out there. My short answer.
No, I love that answer. For me, you probably noticed me nodding along how you described it resonates with me in terms of the richness of culture, the richness of tradition. And as you beautifully pointed out, the experiences that you get when you travel to different countries and get exposed to different cultures and way of life, it really enriches your own perspective and broadens your own thinking, which I think is incredibly valuable in so many different ways and brings you back a different person. Every time I go, I feel like I've grown through their experience. And there's also a lot of emphasis on leadership these days. This is a time where people are calling out for leadership like never before and are searching for leadership more than ever before. So I'd love to hear from you, given your experience and diverse experience that you've had, is what do you feel are the leadership qualities that are most important for us to be able to tackle the challenges and opportunities of today and tomorrow?
Great question. You know, I think there are so many leadership qualities, but I would start by actually talking about the world we've just talked about. Right now, it is very, very complex, rapidly changing, and look at what we've just experienced with COVID. So I would say change has become our new normal. And for leaders to be able to cope with that continuous change, I think adaptability and agility is key. The ability to navigate those uncertainties, to come up with new approaches, and to be able to, I dare say the word pivot, because I know we've over-rotated on that word since COVID hit, but it is really that ability to shift practices in response to evolving circumstances because they continue to evolve. And I think of myself, I started as CEO during COVID. My first day on the job was literally just like this, talking to a screen. And there was no manual. You know, you used to be able to buy, I'm sure you can still buy that book, The First 90 Days, but there was no manual on how to deal with the first 90 days during running an organization during COVID. It required quick adaptation, and I don't think that skill set is disappearing anytime soon. On a related note, I would say digital fluency. Digital transformation is just continuous. We all see it. We're all reliant on technology. And I'm the furthest, if my team were listening to me right now, they'd be laughing because I am so far from being an expert on technology. It's almost humorous. But I know as a leader how important it is to embrace emerging technologies, to be working with data analytics, cybersecurity, dare I say AI, in our business, especially the importance of harnessing these digital tools for organizational success. I would say that digital fluency is key. And then related to what we've just been talking about in terms of understanding diversity and culture and really getting the best out of people, the soft skills are so important. And we've heard, I mean, in all the literature, we've heard people talk about empathy in the last 3 years. And it continues to be so important to really be inclusive as a leader, to be an active listener, to create those environments where you're really bringing the best out of people, embracing those diverse differences and making people feel valued and respected so that they can come to work being their authentic selves and they can be heard, I think is important. So it comes with soft skills. There are so many more. I will say that at PLAN International Canada, one of the things we've done is we've actually developed our own leadership framework. It's something, to be honest, I hadn't thought about doing. You know, I thought, okay, everybody, there's sort of a standard leadership framework out there that we should all abide by. But in fact, quite the opposite. We actually took a process of consulting across the organization and speaking to all of our leaders and asking them, given where we're at right now in our trajectory of growth and success, and given where we are in terms of strengths and weaknesses, what are the leadership capabilities we need to evolve? And it was interesting because the ones I've just come up with are within the framework. But also we had, in addition to agility and in addition to being inclusive, we also had collaborative as a key leadership capability, courageous as a key one, the ability to be focused, and also to be a strong decision maker. And they may not necessarily apply to all organizations, but we felt within our working environment and our mission and where we were seeing some perhaps areas that needed to be enhanced, those are the ones we decided to focus on. And I would encourage other organizations to take a similar approach. Because it's not, leadership is not cookie cutting. There's no one size that fits all. I think there's different leadership qualities that are needed at different times in an organization's growth.
Well, and I love so much there. And thank you. Just such tremendous insights. And I really value how you kind of crowdsource the answer, kind of reverse engineering. You crowdsource the answer within your organization and went to people and said, hey, what do we need? Who do we need to be to navigate this current time? And I love the things that came up. And this is one of the many things that I love about hosting the podcast, because talking about agility, adaptability comes up time and time again, and discomfort with ambiguity and uncertainty and all these things. And that exactly to your point, so important point you're making, Lindsay, around. So being able to, when you said pivot being overused, it also another one. Unprecedented, isn't it? Right away, I was like, a word that just every day.
Sorry.
This is another unprecedented day. And it's kind of like, well, if every day is unprecedented, it's starting to lose. It's a little bit over indexed.
Overused.
Yeah. And I love what you're saying, because it is, pivot is the anchor. Okay, here we are. Things have shifted. What do we need to do? I love your point on that. And I would echo that for all of us here today, being, okay, how can I continue to learn and develop and become more agile, become more adaptable. Also want to zero in on the digital fluency you talked about, and that and how to be more engaged. Once again, love the timing of that, because just had Paul Leonardi, the author of The Digital Mindset, that came in recently and emphasized your exact point. How we look at things, the perspectives that we have, learning how to interface and interact with technology and dare I say, artificial intelligence, so valuable. And these are things that, and love, once again, that consistency of messaging, where they are the foundational skills, the qualities that we'll need for us to be able to function at our best in our personal and our professional lives. And I'm curious, just to kind of drill down even a little further, how would you describe yourself as a leader? If I were working on your team with you, for you, who are you as a leader?
So I would say I'm someone who cares very deeply about people. I put people at the center of pretty much everything we do within the organization. So that focus on relationships is really, really important for me. Values are really important to me. And I think at the end of the day, everything I do is grounded by my focus on impact and wanting to make an impact. I really do surround myself by the best team that I possibly can. And I have to say, I'm just incredibly lucky to have the team I have. And for me, it's really about setting them up for success and really empowering them to reach their full potential, bringing out the best in them. And part of that, to do that, is really a strong emphasis on consultation. Mm-hmm. I'm sure some people could tell you, Lindsay doesn't make decisions fast enough. She consults too much. But I feel strongly that when you consult and you get buy-in and you understand people's perspectives, that you actually end up saving time at the back end. So it's sort of like an initial investment up front, but you save time in the back end. It means that when you're focused so much on relationships and bringing out the best in people, you need to really listen. So I spend a lot of time asking questions and listening. And I think anybody who knows me will tell you that I'm a strong collaborator. I really believe in the power of the team. A really good way actually to see kind of how this plays out is if you were to go to one of our new staff orientation sessions. Every quarter, we have staff orientation for new staff coming in. And I make sure that I go to the first hour of that orientation session. And I use that opportunity to share my vision with the team, to really let them know who I am as a person. And so I start with personal information about me. I talk about a little bit about my background, but I sort of try and set the tone right up front that, hey, this is an organization that's about being open and transparent, because I believe really strongly that if you are who you are and you're open about it, you can immediately start to create connection and people will feel more comfortable. I then speak about mission and impact. We're a mission-driven organization, so it's so important to just re-emphasize why we're here, what we're doing, and to try and, you know, make sure people are aligned on that vision. I bring it back to accountabilities and performance targets. So that's my opportunity to say every individual in this organization is accountable. And, you know, you all have individual work plans, you have teamwork plans, we have annual work plans, and they all line up to the strategy. And my intention there is to ensure that every individual in the organization understands that their work is aligned to our strategy and that they feel ownership for it. And after talking about sort of the importance of accountability and targets, my message, and this is my key message, which comes back to how I started, is it's not all about performance. And it's not all about targets. It's actually about how we work together. So if you were to ask, I hope I'm right when I say this, but I think I am. If you were to ask anyone in the organization, what does Lindsay focus on? They will tell you it's how we work together. Because at the end of the day, I strongly, strongly believe that culture drives success. We all have this responsibility to strengthen the culture, to reinforce the culture, to feed into the culture. And if you've got a strong culture, you will be a successful organization. And so I talk a lot about that. And then I talk about our values. I mentioned at the beginning of your question, you know, what were the importance of values to me? And so I talk about values right in this 1 hour session. And I talk about our plan values. And not surprisingly, they're totally aligned with my values. I've actually walked away from jobs in the past where there hasn't been alignment with my values. There have been moments when my values have felt compromised and I realized I can't really work and be true to who I am and my leadership style if my values are compromised. So I've left at organizations for that reason in the past. And so I speak a lot about the importance of values in this 1 hour meeting with new staff. And it always comes back to putting people at the center, explaining to all of these new employees that I want them to come to work being their authentic selves. I want them to challenge the status quo, not be afraid to express themselves, to really be who they are, because diversity is just so important. And the strength of any organization, we know from all the research, it comes from diversity and really capitalizing on that diversity. So that's the time I set that tone right up front. And I say, this is who we're all about. We're inclusive, we're diverse. Our focus is on really working as a team and being people-centered. And if we can all really think about how we work together, we will be successful and we will get there and we will have increased impact, which is what's driving us all at the end of the day. That's kind of how I try and set the tone on a daily basis.
And thank you for taking us behind the curtain, if you will, and, you know, shining a light on that. And I love the practices that are attached with that. And a couple of things, again, I think are so valuable for us. I love your focus on the how. So often there could be, you know, what we're doing and kind of results and all these things. And we lose sight of, okay, so how are we? Who are we? How are we being together? such an invaluable piece, and I'm with you 1,000%, and you're absolutely right. The research supports it time and time again. And so that's vitally important. And I also appreciate and thank you for shining a light on as well, Lindsay, the importance of the values alignment in my coaching practice, in my speaking practice, when I talk to audience members. One of the most popular and unfortunate topics that come up is when we're acting in or out of alignment with our values. And when we lose sight of those things, that can create a lot of inner conflict, outer conflict. And so being clear on that, and I love how you purposefully delineate why that's so important and take time to talk about how we can have more clarity there, because then that's so valuable for us as individuals, as business leaders, and as community leaders. That's so, so important. One of Plan International Canada's flagship programs, I love this, is called Girls Belong Here. So it's about providing young women opportunities to spend a day with executives and share a seat at the leadership table in corporate Canada and government office. So I'm curious to know from your perspective as a leader, how that program is transformative for you. And what do you gain from it? And why is it important to participate?
So maybe I should just summarize the program really quickly, just to clarify that for listeners. But it's a program that's essentially like a seat chair or a mentorship program. And it allows girls to spend the day with an executive and to participate in meetings, like conversations, do some brainstorming. It depends, whatever the executive wants to share with them, they will benefit from. And it really is about giving young women the opportunity to see what it's like to be an executive. Because if you can believe it, I think there are only, in our research, we've asked Canadian youth, when you picture a CEO, who do you picture? Only 10% of them say a woman. And this in itself, when people don't see something, they don't really imagine themselves in those positions. So it's a barrier right from the get-go. So we think it's just really important to give girls these experiences, because when they see it, they know that they can be it. I mean, they literally walk away from these experiences and say, wow, you know what? That position isn't as, you know, daunting as I may have thought. I could probably do that one day. We really want to give this opportunity to young women. And for the executive, it's an incredible experience. And I can tell you firsthand, I've now done it 3 years running. They literally see the power and potential of these young girls. And maybe they have daughters, so they might already know that just from what they see daily at home. But if they don't, they may have some ageist attitudes or some other barriers in their thinking and not actually realize that the insights and the fresh perspectives and the unfiltered passion and creativity that comes from these girls is remarkable. And I've seen it. I've had youth who have spent the day with me. I've had them chair a full staff meeting. I've actually had them participate in government advocacy meetings where they speaking roles. I've had them advise me on social media strategies because they're so far ahead of where I am all on that front. And so for me, it's been a humbling experience. It's been also like incredibly inspiring. It's reminded me, you know, each time I do it, the 3 years I've done it now, it continues to remind me of my own journey, the drive I had, how I also had sort of those unfiltered ideas, but I wasn't necessarily propped up or supported or taken seriously all the time. And so when I think back, I realize, girls need mentors. They need people to support them, not just to support them and mentor them, but to sponsor them and really put themselves out for them. So it's a great program for the girls themselves, for the leaders. And I would just highly recommend it to anybody. It's a win-win. And not to mention, I didn't even mention, but even the employees. So the employees and the employee engagement around having a young girl in the office is huge, because they themselves can feel proud and participate. And there are many aspects to the program that I can speak to, but I think that probably covers it.
No, and thank you. And one point I wanted to make as well, and thank you for sharing the research that you've done. And as you said, it's striking 10% picture a woman as CEO. And I wanted to say, I had Todd Churches. So he's a professor out of NYU Stern, wrote a great book called Visual Leadership. He came in earlier this year and talked about the exact same thing. In the US, you know, you say, okay, picture, what does a CEO look like? And that is replicated. And then he shared the exact same message. So important for us to reflect on these. It comes up time and time again. And I'm so glad you talked about it, Lindsay. If these are our expectations of something, like this is what comes to mind, these are things we have to be talking about and actively addressing and changing those behaviors. So I'm curious as well, like, are you able to share, are there common pieces of feedback that the participants share or the executives share with you in terms of like their lived experience within the program?
In fact, most executives will tell you exactly what I did, which is it was just such a positive experience for them. As an executive, I think hearing fresh perspectives from youth is incredibly helpful. And we've heard that from those who have participated. Mm. Not surprisingly, they've been themselves surprised. They've come out of these programs with sort of that, like, oh, geez, like that young woman was rather intimidating and super smart. And oh my gosh, like, I don't remember being that smart when I was that age. And my lassie chair, the girl that I did it with, was probably one of the best spoken people I ever met. And so every time we sat down, and actually we also did a media stint, I literally, and I'm not exaggerating, I felt a bit overwhelmed. I thought, oh my, like, I'm going to sound like an idiot sitting beside her. So I think there's that element of wow. There's a wow factor. You know, youth these days are coming with a lot of experience at a much younger age. I think there's something around that too. Their ability to speak and to just come up with new ideas really stands out with most of the executives I've spoken to. This is the really interesting piece. And I'm not going to lie, they're the men who have participated. They've said that their mindset has shifted, which is one of the ideas behind the program, because that is one of the barriers that we're facing. And they've come out and they've admitted, you know, I actually didn't think she would be as strong a young woman as she was. And it was really enlightening. And, you know, not to mention, we have a speakers bureau where these girls actually go out and provide speaking engagements with these companies. And we also have something that kind of looks, almost functions like a focus group. So we can bring a lot of these girls together if a company wants to get input on a strategy or a new launch of a product. And so we've done that, and we've had those companies tell us, we actually just pivoted, I don't want to use the word, we just actually shifted our strategy as a result of that session we had with the girls that you provided in the Girls Belong Here program, because they gave us entirely different ideas and insights that we hadn't anticipated. So even from a strategic perspective, we've seen some really positive results. We've also seen some of these girls get hired a little bit later by the companies that they worked with.
I mean, it's so awesome. And thank you for sharing even more perspective on that. And a couple of things that I love is that you talked about the importance of impact earlier, and this is just the beautiful example of impact and positive impact and also a shift in mindset, so powerful. I just think that's, again, when we can change our perspective on the world and open ourselves up. And it also harkened me back to the beginning of our conversation where we talked about enrichment. What a wonderful way to enrich our lives personally and professionally, and challenge our own assumptions, challenge our own thinking, come put the mirror up and come face to face to that. That's fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. And another reason I was just so excited about this episode and having the privilege to speak with you, Lindsay, and the timing of the release, we've been very purposeful around that, because October 11th is the 11th annual International Day of the Girl. And it's a day that Plan International Canada was instrumental in creating. It's a global day to celebrate the power of girls and highlight the barriers they face. So with that said, what is one thing, or a couple of things, that business leaders can start doing right now to help break down those barriers?
Thank you for asking. It's a great thing to be thinking about on International Day of the Girl. I would say first and foremost is what I've just spoken about. It, one very concrete step is just being able to engage in mentoring, whether it's through a formal program like Girls Belong Here or informally within their organization. Mentoring just provides a vital opportunity for young people to learn from experienced leaders. I said it before, but it's my favorite. It is my favorite expression. I use it all the time, but if they see it, they can be it. It really is that simple. And then on the follow-up, I would say whenever there's an opportunity there, listen to girls, give them a platform to express their ideas, to provide solutions, actively involve them in decision-making, give them a seat at the table. Because up to now, I think we just don't give them the space that they deserve and the platforms that they deserve. And then finally, executives really have a responsibility, and I don't want to get into the politics, but you know, there are systems and policies that need to change to address discrimination, to address bias, and whether it's hiring, performance evaluations, pay structures, there are still built-in biases that prevent women from making it into executive positions. And when you don't have female role models, it's very discouraging for young girls. So I think that that's something that we all have a responsibility around, is just always thinking about equity and ensuring that we have that diverse representation of the workforce, because that will help ensure that girls see a place for themselves in leadership in the future. And I don't think I should need to remind anybody, but we're talking about half the population here, 50% of the population. Like, society's really missing out if we're not involving them. So this isn't just a be nice, this is a business imperative. I mean, if we're talking about successful organizations, we want to make sure that we've got girls at the table.
No, well, and thank you. And I couldn't agree more about it being a business imperative. And there's so much you talked about, the research coming out about empathy as well. There's so much evidence that shows that more diversity and gender diversity and racial diversity, all of those things drive business success in so many different domains. And so it's such a vital thing for us to continue to focus on. There are so many reasons, any reason you want to lay out there, it's there for the betterment of all of us as business leaders, as organization leaders, as community leaders, for a global community. This is vitally important. And what I love that you're talking about as well, it's creating those conditions. It's creating and the intentionality. So thank you for challenging us to be more intentional, more thoughtful around that, because that's a critical, critical step. So we can start to have those conversations, broaden our experience, and truly learn from one another. So that's terrific. And I would be remiss if I didn't say, talking about how privileged it is to speak with you and be able to coordinate the launch on International Day of the Girl. Thank you, Lindsay, for taking the time out of this time of year when there's so many demands on your schedule for speaking with me for today's podcast. And the time is just flying by. I can't believe we're almost at the end of our time together, and so much we've covered. I'm very, very excited. So I love to ask, so what advice would you have for an aspiring leader in today's world?
I have a ton of advice here, so I don't even know how I'll keep it short, because I do speak to, because of our role in advancing the equality for girls, I speak to a lot of youth and a lot of girls, and I do a lot of mentoring myself. My first piece of advice to an aspiring leader, no surprise, follow your passions and be your authentic self. I always tell youth, you're not going to be successful doing something that you don't enjoy doing. You really want to find out what turns your crank and find a space that you feel safe being yourself, and you're far more likely to be successful. I also talk a lot about the importance of always asking questions and learning as you move forward, never assuming things. I mean, that seems obvious for those of us that are a little bit older. Sometimes they can come in with these attitudes of they know everything. And it's a reminder of, hey, you don't. There are a lot of older, wise people who have been doing this for years who will have great advice for you. So listen to them and learn from them. Any leader at whatever level will have setbacks and will face some challenging moments. And so the importance of celebrating the moments that go well is really important. I think to keep the momentum going, keep your spirits high, to remind yourself that you're on the right track, you need to sometimes just stop and celebrate the moments and the milestones that you're proud of. Taking risks. When I think of my own career, pretty much all of the successes that have come with taking some risks. I mean, granted, they're calculated risks, but you can't really learn and grow if you're not prepared to get out of your comfort zone. And you can't really discover who you are if you're not challenging yourself again out of your comfort zone, in my opinion. So I would tell anybody, if you really want to learn about yourself as an individual, which is important for leadership, then you need to take some risks. And I would also advise any leader at any age, and this is something I have to tell myself to do also, is not to wait for the answers and to try and act. I don't want to say with a sense of urgency, but I kind of do. Like, it's a little bit of a, you're never going to have the full suite of answers. So many people just wait to have all their lines, what's the expression we're looking for? Ducks line in order. Did I just get it wrong? Anyway, they want everything to be perfect before they make the jump. And so I always say, don't do that. It will never happen. Just take a leap of faith and act with a sense of urgency and you're more likely to succeed. And that's especially true for decision making. And then finally, and it comes back to what we've been talking about, it's, I think, apropos today's International Day of the Girl, it's really seek out those wise leaders who can help you, because it can be difficult to navigate, you know, the twists and turns of different positions and even office politics. There are people out there that can help you. So when in doubt, ask. I've had the opportunity to, as I mentioned, to mentor some great youth. And I always say, I can see the shift in them from that mentoring. So I would advise anyone to just seek out those people who can help out.
Thank you. That was a masterclass and advice for aspiring leaders. And for me, a couple of things. As an executive coach, as part of what I do, I love to talk about asking questions. So I'll admit my own bias and that's the power of that. It's incredible. I love how you highlighted celebrating successes, because all too often we just race to the next thing and then can focus on the setbacks and ruminate and miss. Okay, so what are the wins? What are the short-term wins? And taking a moment to really experience and be grateful and take joy out of that. And I love the notion of taking risks, because that's where we truly learn about ourselves. So important. I love that you highlighted that, getting out of our comfort zone. And I hear that time and again, when take a calculated risk, not wild and all over the place, an informed calculated risk. And that's where the largest payoff happens. And the last one, and I love this because it's one of my favorite stats from research, and people who listen know I love the social leadership and organizational sciences. When they looked at help, seeking help, in 90% of cases, when help was offered, that was hoped for, the person asked for it. And so often, and I love that you were specific about asking and seeking out and asking for support from people who can be really helpful for us. If we don't ask, then it minimizes or eliminates the chances it's going to happen. So who can we engage? Be thoughtful around that. This has just been so much fun. Like, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you for your passion, your enthusiasm, your insight, your experience and expertise. I want to ensure, before we close this very special episode today, is there anything that we didn't talk about or touched on, or final words you want to share with the audience before we close this conversation?
Oh my goodness, there's so much to talk about in terms of leadership. I guess I would just say leadership's it's a journey. Everybody talks about it. It really is a journey. I don't think that as a leader, you reach a point where you ever just say, okay, been there, done that, and figured it all out. I'm learning every day. I guess my parting words would be just be open to that continuous journey of learning, because that really is, to me, what leadership is all about. I think we are stronger leaders when we can continue to adapt and listen, take advice and guidance from others. So that would be it. And I just want to thank you. Thank you so much, Craig. As I said, I just think this podcast series was great.
Oh, well, you're most welcome and thank you. And I love the emphasis on lifelong learning for us, and had Yusuri Basada, the CEO of Home Capital Group, came on. And so to build on what you were saying as well, he said to us, there's no graduation from leadership. And it's I love what you just shared, because that's such an important piece. And when we're in positions of leadership, sometimes we can be more about, well, what do we know? What do we need to show we know, and all these things. And I really appreciate such a powerful take home message for us around that focus on learning, that focus on growth for us. So thank you so much, Lindsay. This was a real pleasure. Thank you to everybody for tuning in, and look forward to seeing you next time on the Do Good to Lead Well podcast. Bye for now.
Thank you, Craig. Thanks again.
Thank you so much for joining me here today on Do Good to Lead Well. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. If you'd like to continue the conversation, you can follow me on Twitter at Craig Dowden, or reach out via LinkedIn or email info@craigdowden.com. I look forward to meeting you here next week for another transformational episode.